Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Look at that. We're live, Danny. No, for real, we're live. There's like millions of people watching this. He's Danny Shirey. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. We were here to cover what we thought might have been a good hockey game.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
I don't know if it was a good hockey game.
Mike Sullivan said, yeah, it was entertaining. You might have gotten a laugh out of it. You might have enjoyed it. The coaches sure wouldn't have. What do you take from this, if anything?
Well, I think the one thing you can't take away from it is that Chris Letang obviously displayed the high-end offense that he can bring to the table. I'm sure he, like the rest of the team, have quite a bit they'd like to clean up in the defensive zone. But in the offensive zone for Letang, it seemed like he was maybe a little more apt or engaged, especially low in the zone, to kind of make
plays.
That
was San Jose, dude.
You don't want to compare it. That was years ago and maybe one of the best games he's ever played. But
it was his best game.
You can't tell me that the first goal he scored tonight wasn't reminiscent of that goal he scored in
game 6.
Oh,
I mean, it was – the shift was. Yeah, the goal itself was – there wasn't great goaltending in this game.
Right.
Okay, somebody just tweeted my direction a little bit ago that it's a good thing it didn't go to a shootout or someone would have had to win 97-96. And that's probably accurate with the way between Alex Lyon and Casey DeSmith were tending goal. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Look, Casey DeSmith most of the time is a completely fine backup, but I think we're starting to see now that you're either going to get one end of the spectrum or the other, and there's really not going to be much of an in-between with him. If you look at his numbers on the season, they are roughly around what a backup would be or even just a league average goaltender. But the problem is when you get into games like tonight and you're like, oh crap, he gave up 6 goals, or you look at the games he plays well, he gave up like 1 goal on 30 shots kind of thing. So from him, they're going to need a little bit more consistency. But tonight there was just crappy goaltending.
There were a couple of goals that, look, they were so bad at defending in general, at preventing goals, that it's almost too easy to just say it was on everybody, except that it was on everybody. When you look at the nature of the breakdowns that led to the chances against DeSmith, and then from there you see DeSmith going out after a 50-50 puck with Carter Verhaeghe, who only owned the puck all night long. We'll get to that. You just can't do it. Can I say that it's a different hockey team when Tristan Jarry's in net? In addition to the fact that Jarry's a much better goaltender, like
Jason Zucker even admitted as much. I think it was at the end of last week. Asked him about, you know, obviously you want Jarry back in the crease there, but just what does it mean for your guys' confidence out there? And he goes, well, honestly, we haven't played nearly as well in front of DeSmith or Tsarkarski versus when Jarry's in the net. And it's like, well, you think you might want to do something about that.
It's accurate. By the way, anybody wants to ask us a question, fire away on either YouTube or Facebook. Demond Brown just says, what's happening? To which I will say, a lot. There are 13 goals on that board, Demond. That was a lot happening. When I look at this team, I think of them performing the way they did in Newark, meaning what they have to do, not here. And I understand they needed this outcome. This is a team that's, you know, in that playoff hunt. They need points. They can't keep, you know, winning only 2 out of every 10 overtimes. So all of that was a welcome development. Why am I not able to shake off that the rest of this was just so not good?
Well, because when I think of this team, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
That's what I think of, right? We know this team has that high-end offensive capability where they're going to be able to fill the net regardless of whether Alex Lyon's the opposing goaltender or not. But this team's inability to just clamp down.
There's none. There's no clamping down.
There's none. And
when Geno scored, to bring the lead back, you knew they were giving up another one. You just knew it.
We've seen it how many times in this exact building this season. It's never over. And I don't know if a lot of that just stems from – it seems almost like just a lack of anticipation. I don't want to call it a lack of effort.
I've heard you use that term. What do you mean when you say that, lack of anticipation?
So, you know, when you see guys in the defensive zone and then one pass diagonally across the zone pulls everybody out of their spot, and then next thing you know, there's two guys wide open in front of your own net.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lack of anticipation, right? Because you've got to be thinking ahead. If this puck goes here, where do I need to be and where am I going to need to be going? As a defensive player, you can still dictate turns without the puck on your stick, right? By taking the angles you take and the routes you take to seal off carriers, taking lanes,
making yourself available too. If your guys have the puck, and when you look at the tying goal, the one I just described here, Ricard Raquel, who's as reliable as anybody on or near the puck, just kind of had the puck go off of his stick and it kind of carried him back here. But you saw everything was just discombobulated all around him, and he wasn't in motion either. I just don't see a team that is trending toward defensive excellence. And I'm not even counting this game, believe it or not, when I say that.
I think that's a completely fair assessment. This team, you know, they keep talking about all the right things that they need to do. And, again, they did just win this game. You don't want to sit here and be a miser about everything. But at the same time, has this team put together even a 3 or 4-game stretch this season where you're like, wow, that was – really solid, complete defensive
hockey? I got two, Winnipeg and St. Paul. And then even then, they went right into Chicago and got away from it.
That's my point. And I completely understand that they're the league's oldest team and that last year they flipped the switch going into the playoffs after they kind of slept walk into the postseason. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a good game plan to go, oh, they can turn it on when they need it, especially when it's defensively. Mm-hmm. Like, offensively, I can get on board with that. But defensively, there's too many things going on there to think that you can just change that.
No, there's no question about that. Ryan asks Dan and Danny, what do you guys think about the play of Letang tonight? Was a good game needed for him to keep it up Thursday against Washington? He was good. I don't care. In his case, I don't care what happened at the other end. I really don't.
No, I really don't care either.
You see him doing that stuff?
There's few blue liners around the league that can do that in the offensive zone, what Letang did tonight. And quite frankly, the defense... It just doesn't matter with him at this point. You saw what happened when they were trotting Jan Ruda out as the top pairing guy on the right side.
Nothing happens. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
That's not a knock on Ruda. He's fine in the right role and everything, but you look at the way Letang was distributing the puck coming out of the zone. He was gaining both blue lines himself with the puck on his stick, not relinquishing possession, right?
The pass to Raquel.
Those are huge, huge things, and I think there's a lot for him to clean up there too. So again, it's just one game, but I think that was about as encouraging of a return to the lineup as you go for.
I don't think you can do a whole lot better than that. Joe says, is it time to start looking for a backup goalie? There seems to be a big drop from Jari. There is a really big drop from Jari. Oh, where are you going to get yourself a backup goalie?
Well, here's the way I look at it. Aside from DeSmith being what he is, if you really wanted to make an upgrade in goal, especially as a backup, because they're not going to go out and get a starter this year. That's just out of the question.
No, you can't.
So with the...
No. I shouldn't say you can't. That's a Ron Hextall assessment.
Okay, well, where I'm going with this is with the minimal resources and salary cap space available to maneuver hockey trades or any kind of roster moves, do you really want to burn any sort of capital or maybe guys like Owen Pickering as your top prospects to go and upgrade a backup position?
As a backup, there's very little you can do as a backup. And the backups that do become available tend to be expensive backups. I always refer to these around deadline time as the Yaroslav Halaks. Like, Halak is always available at every deadline, but he always comes with a $3.5 million price tag or something in that range.
And it typically doesn't end up being worth it.
And it doesn't end up being worth it. So, yeah, it's a little bit different here. Jeff says Tanger kicked the extra point. Yeah, he did. And on that note, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're going to try these live. You know, you can come along, too. You know,
and we didn't screw up.
I don't know. We kind of did. Did you notice that the camera went like, phew? at one point and we had to slide up? They did, I'll bet you. We're still new at this. We'll get good. We'll get good. See you next time.